With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
ESNY.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Knicks State of Mind podcast. I'm Chip Murphy with Danny Small here today. No Matt, unfortunately, but our boy's a little busy because this weekend he's getting married. So congratulations to Matt and his fiance. But we have a very special episode for everyone today because we have, for the first time, both of our very good friends from the Knicks, Jets, etc. podcast, Alex Trataros and John Malika. What's up, boys? Thanks for coming on.
Chip, Danny, thank you for having us on. This is quite the honor to have both of us here talking about Knicks. We're hyped. We're ready to go. I know I'm hyped. John, what's good?
Yeah, man. Thanks for having us. We are in for some emotional times for the Knicks. It's a really good time to reconvene and get some things settled. Thanks for having us. I'm excited for tonight's game. We got the Lakers tonight, but I'm excited for this homestand. Man. I'm excited to see if we end up in Boston and Alex is able to is able to represent on the road.
Yeah. Yo, if they end up in Boston, I'm going to be the most obnoxious person on the streets. It's going to be unsettling.
I don't think that's possible. Yeah. You're the most obnoxious person in Boston. No way.
Yeah, and we'll get into Nick stuff for the most part, but I'm going to ask you guys some of your opinions on the Jets at the end of the pod. We got to do a little crossover.
I agree. We should definitely do that. I want to know what you guys think.
Oh, that's right. Everyone here is a Jets fan. That's right. Everyone's a Jets fan here.
Yeah.
All J-E-T-S.
Jets.
Yep. All right. So we have a lot to talk about, obviously, but I do want to start because we haven't done a podcast since the Clippers win. And that's the biggest win of the season, in my opinion. I don't know about you guys, but in my opinion, it might be the biggest win I don't know, since the 2012-13 season. It's a massive win for us. We beat the Clippers with them. I don't care what anybody says about Serge Ibaka. They were at full strength as far as I'm concerned. Randall didn't even play his best game. It was a huge win for the Knicks. Derrick Rose played incredible again. So, Alex, what did you take away from that Clippers win?
The Knicks are gritty, man. I think that's what it comes down to. They're a gritty team. They'll play together. They'll fight together. They're not going to let anything get in their way. And Derrick Rose, man, is the gem of this season. You know, we were uneasy to start the season, and now Derrick Rose comes here, and we're, 22-10 with him? He brings a presence that was missing at the point guard position. You know, this is not to slander Elfrid Payton. We all know what it is at this point. I'm not going to go. You can just go to Twitter and get enough of that.
Yeah, we've done that enough on this
podcast. It's everywhere. I'm okay, it's all over the place.
We already know what it's all about. But Derrick Rose, he brings like that calm presence. He knows how to slow the game down for everybody and get the ball to the right player at the right time. Keeps everybody involved, you know. And that game, he just went off, right? So, and we needed him that game. So, Derrick Rose, that game was probably like the one of the biggest standouts. Also with Reggie Bullock, man. Reggie Bullock just catching fire in the second half and being like, no fourth quarter mishap from Reggie Bullock. He was still going true down in the fourth quarter. So it's good to see when you have like a good collective effort from the team, because when we get to the playoffs, right, Julius is not going to probably average the 34 that we saw during April. So we're going to need everyone else to step up. So it was a great win. That's the biggest aspects for me that I liked about that game.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Bullock. Bullock was awesome in that game. I mean, I've been so wrong about Bullock since last year. I have to fully take.
Like, you and me both.
Yeah. Like, shout out to our guy, Colin Loring, because he was all over Reggie Bullock all year, and Chris Bertsianin too. And Reggie Bullock just stands out and as the top, one of the top performers in that game. But tonight they're playing the Lakers, and if they win and the Celtics lose, they can clinch a playoff spot for obviously the first time since 2013. And LeBron not playing. What do you think of the Knicks' chances tonight, John?
Oh, man. First of all, are you excited about that scenario where the Heat beat the Celtics and we get the clinch and then we are set up against the Heat? Because I don't know. That's a weird scenario for me, just to start. But for tonight, man, if we can get a sweep in Staples Center, I don't care who's playing for the Lakers. It's the West Coast. It's this West Coast haunted trip. If we can get out of there over 500, that would be crazy just for our confidence. Forget the standings or anything like that. So I'm excited. I know that IQ is out. I think Burks will be in there. He's probably going to have some limited minutes, but I'm excited to get his feet wet. I don't know. Give me what's the spread on this game, Chip?
Last I looked, it was 5.5.
I think it dropped when LeBron got ruled out. I think the Knicks are +3.5 now.
Is it +3.5 now?
I'll take that. I think I'll take that. And I just to piggyback a little bit off your question to Alex, my favorite thing about this last game was that Tibbs said that Julius Randle played a great game, because he honestly did. And I know that he was missing like crazy, but usually when Randle misses like crazy, he starts turning the ball over, and he wasn't doing that, and he was playing solid defense. So I'm kind of looking for Randle to come back this game, show a little something, maybe a little RJ Barrett corner three action. You know what I mean? Off of the double team for Randle. That's kind of how I see this game going. It's time to get into shape. Like, there's only 4 more games left. I feel like we've been talking all year. You know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, like 34 games left. Like, let's not look ahead. Like, it's only 4 games. So if it was me, I would take Julius Randle double-double and the Knicks win parlay, Chip. Just to keep it in your language.
Yeah, that is definitely speaking language. Yeah, and Danny's language too.
Yeah, as soon as you said spread, I started grabbing a tab, like typing away. I agree with you what you said about Randle. Like, if you look at the stat line, you know, the shooting 7-for-19 doesn't look like one of his best games, but the other guys, like Alex said, you know, Bullock, Rose, like those guys stepped up, brought the Knicks to the finish line, and then you have Randle hitting those big shots down the stretch. It's like he's the star. The fact that he had a bad game didn't matter. In those moments, he was still clutch. And, you know, in those moments, his teammates trust him. I mean, who knows where this team's ceiling is? Who knows who they can beat in the playoffs, who they're even going to play? Like, I don't think it's too early to really make any big predictions about that for me. But the one thing you can say about this Knicks team is, like, it's the most fun team definitely since 2013, but maybe even more so, I think, just because of how they're doing it. You know, as just kind of a collective unit with grittiness, resilience, you know, they're beating all these teams where, you know, on the road, you don't expect them to go 4-2 on a 6-game, you know, West Coast road trip. It's just every time it seems like you figured out the Knicks and you said, all right, this is who they are, they get a little bit better. And it just, I don't know where it's going to stop.
That Nuggets game looked like a same old Knicks game. Like, holy shit, that Nuggets first quarter looked like the other shoe was dropping. Mm-hmm. And, like, it was a nightmare scenario. And then it's like, oh, wait, they're playing the MVP. I just had to calm myself down. Like, oh, yeah, Nikola Jokic.
And at the same time.
A couple first quarters, though, recently, guys, right? They were starting off pretty hot in first quarters in the beginning. But recently, they're coming out kind of slow. It's kind of making me a little nervous.
I think it might be time to put Derrick Rose in that starting lineup.
It's making me nervous about Elfrid Payton starting in the playoffs is what it's making me nervous about.
It's Tibbs like his Keith Bogans, where he had, like, Keith Bogans would play like 5 minutes in the playoffs, but he would start.
Except Keith Bogans was a good defender.
Yeah, that's it.
The only difference.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I think we're still going to get Payton.
I keep saying this, but Payton's going to stay.
Yeah.
Look, he got 16 minutes against the Clippers, and I expect it to be that unless Payton's having like a really good game. Like, he got 16 minutes. He went 1-for-5 against the Clippers. And if he's doing, if he's playing well, getting to the rack easily and just putting up like, what was it 4-for-7 type numbers, we can probably get like a good 15, 20 minutes out of him and give Rose that extra rest. And that's really what we need because, dude, I don't know about you guys, but like when you watch Rose like in the fourth quarter, he looks like he's just played like 8 straight games, like a pickup basketball. You know what I mean? Like you see where he, his mind is like, I want to get there, but his body's just like a second, just like, it's just rough, man. It's just rough. And you know, he's like our best guy that we need right now. So we got to make sure he's conditioned to go down the long stretch of these games.
Yeah. He looks like he did not like 21-year-old Derrick Rose anymore, where it's just and like effortless motor. Now that was fourth quarter. He's kind of chugging along there sometimes.
Yeah, but I like the bounce though. He's got a nice little hop to him, and he's not like he doesn't scare me. So like the difference between his last stint with the Knicks is he would do those like scary drives in there, and we'd be like, you know, clutching our eyes, or like a turnover might be coming, or he used to love to do those jump passes where he jumps on the baseline and then decides what he's gonna do. And he's not doing any of that. He's just, like Alex said, letting the game come to him, kind of like he's playing pickup. And I do agree with you. At the end of the game, he is kind of short. Everything's just a little short. And that's always a telltale sign. And that's the best thing about Randle, is at the end of games, he's kind of getting hot when everybody else, for the most part, is getting cold. And so that's going to be a huge thing for us, but man, we need Alec Burks back so bad to take over that fourth quarter clutch point guard minutes. Remember those days? He had like those 8 straight games, and he was just like Penny Hardaway out there. It was so weird.
It's concerning me that we're having to rely so much on Alec Burks as like a backup point guard, though, when he's not a point guard. Like maybe we shouldn't be doing that. Like, you disagree, Alex?
I mean, what else do we got right now?
I know, but like, I'm not saying that we shouldn't. I'm just saying it concerns me that he's missed as much time, and now we like have to hand the ball off to him and be like, okay, you need to be the backup point guard.
When's Vildoza going to be ready?
Oh, my God. Everyone's hyped.
The Pablo Prigioni of the 2013 playoffs, getting steals on the inbounds, throwing lobs.
That's the dream.
Yeah, put him in if he can do that.
There's no way that Tibbs would ever put somebody into the rotation for the playoffs. I would bet my life against that.
Unless it was Derrick Rose, then he would. But anyone else, no.
That's why I agree with you, Danny, that I don't think he'll change the starting lineup. I would be stunned if Elfrid Payton is the starting point guard. Yeah.
I said he should, and then I was like, wow. Yeah, that's
the moot point of this, where we are right now.
I think Alex kind of says it best. Like, we know what's going on with Elfrid Payton. Like, we don't need to we had Colin on here like a couple weeks ago, and he Colin was like, furious. Colin and Matt were like going
at the
off.
Thought of discussing
and
it.
And it's just like, all right, like, you gotta accept it by now. This is just the way it is.
Like, that's how I feel, man. Just like we've done this. It's like every week at this point. Like, we get it. What do you want to change? You know, especially after the trade deadline, it's like, okay, so he's here.
That's when it was. Okay, accept it. Move on.
Yeah, I agree. Let's talk about a good point guard. Yeah, and let's talk about Kyle Lowry. Yeah. And let's talk about Ian.
There we
let's
go.
Talk about Ian Begley's report. Yeah, that the Knicks have Kyle Lowry, I think, on their radar was the phrasing that he used, and there was obviously discussion about that on Knicks Twitter, contract length that people might like. And obviously the money, whatever, whether it would affect quickly, whether it would affect bring back Derrick Rose, whatever. John, how do you feel about bringing in Lowry? What do you care about the contract? Do you care about the money, or do you just want him in?
I am so annoyed that this is when the story is coming out. And ever since the Shefty Aaron Rodgers story, where Shefty literally came out and he was just like, yeah, there was no news. I just decided to drop that. Yeah. I just decided to drop that on draft day. That's what this feels like. Because if Kyle Lowry was on the Knicks radar, why didn't we just give the Raptors anything for him? You know what I mean? A second round pick here, whatever, a late pick, whatever, some sort of player that we're not going to re-sign. anything. But now that we're talking about it, it really makes no sense to me. And it's just another blip on the radar of, oh, the Knicks are really good. Who else are we going to rumor to the Knicks so that when they don't go to the Knicks, we can make fun of the Knicks and say, wow, look how good this player is. He could have been here. And so that's just my genuine feeling about this story. But if you're going to ask me about the player, Kyle Lowry is perfect for this team. I've been screaming around the trade deadline that all I wanted was Kyle Lowry and Jonas Valanciunas. Like, nothing crazy. Like, give me, like, you know, B players that could have took this team over the top. And then we really could have been talking about how we match up versus Philly. If we had, like, a big man, if we had a real point guard that could do that. And that would be worth that sort of talk. But for next year, man, I don't even want to think about next year. Kyle Lowry, great. We need a point guard. He sounds good. Lonzo Ball. Everybody, that sounds good. Everyone sounds better than Elfrid Payton. So it doesn't matter. You know, I don't know. I know Alex was a little skittish on Kyle Lowry because he didn't want to pay for him. But, I mean, he fits perfectly on this Tips team, right, man?
It's funny, and I could co-sign John just wanting Kyle Lowry and Jonas Valanciunas because it was every single day a text just like, yo, we need these guys. We need a backup center. We need Kyle Lowry. Hey, can we do this type of deal? I'm like, bro, it is like 8 a.m. I'm just like trying to drink my cup of coffee right now.
8 a.m. That's three days in a row. That's lunch.
But no, I like Kyle Lowry. I like him as a player. I think he'd fit very well on this roster right now. As a forward general, guy who can shoot, defend at a high level, absolutely. For me, it's like, how long are we keeping this guy? What's the money? What are we doing at the point guard? Who are we grooming next? Are you telling me that it will be just D. Rose and Kyle Lowry running the point for, what, 1-2 years? And then what do we do after that? That's my biggest question. Is like, what are we doing afterwards? Like, are we drafting someone? They're going to be on the bench. And
who cares? Look at Chris Paul, man. Look at Chris Paul. They're paying him $40 million, and the Suns are having a fantastic time. They'll pay him $60 million if they could. You know what I'm saying? Who cares?
If he's willing to sign a one-year, $30 million contract, or a one-plus-one, or a two-year deal, I would do that. That's my – you. Is that like a thing for you, Al? You don't want to go to 2 years, or you don't want to
No, that's fine. I think that's fine. I think that's perfect length. I was telling John, I think it's going to be a one-plus-one. I think we're going to do 1 year, see if he likes it, and he likes being in New York and likes the situation, then he'll just stay because we give him that much money and he can choose if he wants to be here for another year. I don't see it. I can only see it 2 years if we gave him even more money.
Do you think that bumps out Lonzo?
Just probably not necessarily because of the position, but just because Lonzo will want a ton of money too.
Yeah, like 80 mil. Now we're gonna have 110 million in point guards.
That's tough. It'll just be too much money to commit to both guys.
I'm just gonna piggyback off you guys and agree. I like Lowry's a perfect fit for the Knicks. You know, like gritty Tom Thibodeau type guys always seems like, you know, that it factor. But yeah, a lot of it like comes down to the money. But for me, at least, I think I wouldn't be as hesitant to kind of give him the money on like that 2 year deal. Is just because the Knicks are going to be picking 21, you know, with their pick 20 to 20, like mid 20s. Same thing with the Mavericks pick. Like, yes, there's a chance you could like hit on a point guard with that pick, but it's not like they're picking at the top of the draft where they're going to get, you know, Cade Cunningham or Jalen Suggs, which coming into this year, I was kind of thinking like, all right, Knicks point guard of the future, probably in this draft class, and it's a good thing that they're winning, but just because they're not going to be up there. Now that kind of like I almost pivot away and say like instead of like point guard of the future, quote unquote, just get, you know, Lowry, a winning point guard for now. Like don't look too far ahead of like what's the overall plan at point guard, because right now if you get Lowry, it's pretty good.
I agree with that. I think for me, like here, if you want to talk about point guards and like the draft though, right? I don't think we're using all these picks. What, we got four picks?
We're going to be any of them.
Man. Yeah.
Tibbs so, doesn't like, want to play any of them.
So,
yeah.
So here's my thing. Could you move all four of those picks in this year's draft and move up? How high, if you could move up in this draft, do you think you can get up into like the lottery? 14, maybe 10? What do you think?
I think he wants a veteran.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I think if you're trading those picks, the Knicks are probably going to trade them for like a. I don't know anyone.
Don't put a name out there. You're gonna set off a storm, but
I don't need to throw that out there. But like
Shea Gilgeous Alexander,
yeah. someone Kentucky player X,
De'Aaron Fox.
He's gonna be the next name, by the way, because they're so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
Sacramento's going to trade
everyone. Knicks fans don't like him, though, right now because of his lottery slander.
The next time they play the Kings and he gets a hug from World Wide West.
Yeah. It's all over. Like, oh, my God.
The second you Photoshop someone in a Knicks jersey, it's over. Yeah. We're going to love them to death.
You don't exactly. even have – you just put a photo of him in a Kentucky jersey and that's like –
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, but no, I love Kyle Lowry, obviously. He's one of my favorite players. So I want him on the Knicks for sure. But it depends on what they think of Emmanuel Quickley. If they see him as the point guard of the future, then maybe they just want to hand the ball off to him next year. Yeah, I don't know if they're willing to do that right away when they've been playing so well. And if they feel like they can get like a Chris Paul type season out of Kyle Lowry next year, like John was saying, like what Chris Paul did for OKC last year, if Chris Paul could have like the same type of influence on or if Kyle Lowry could have the same type of influence on Quickley that Chris Paul did on SGA, then you got to do it. Like you just have to try something like that. It just makes sense. But I don't know. I don't know what I see Quickley as yet. Personally, I don't know if I see him as the point guard of the future or like a great scorer off the bench. I think he could be either one. And I think he looks like he could go either way at both. So I don't know what you guys think.
He loves Lou Williams, so I'll just go.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? His favorite player is one of the greatest bench scorers of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I love him in that role. Do you guys think he's okay?
I do too.
Do you guys think he's injured? Like, do you think it's a serious injury? Do you think they're kind of saving him for the playoffs?
I don't know. That's a good question because it's not like he's definitely come back down to earth, I think, a little bit, like the second half of the season. And I mean, it's not really, it's not in Tibbs's nature, but you know, maybe it's not his call. They are kind of just saying like, we know we're basically avoiding the play-in now. Let's give him like a little bit of time to kind of get ready for a 7-game series. I don't know. Yeah. That's interesting. It's
been bothering him all year, or at least for the second half, like you said, something's been bothering him with his calf, leg, some sort of soft tissue.
It's got to be just like general soreness over, you know, the course of
I'm a rookie, you know, everything hurts.
It's a bit shorter season, but still
he's never played this much basketball before.
He's just wearing down
and it's condensed, you know. We're not talking
about too. I mean, look at God, it's not even rookies, it's, you know, everybody is getting hurt.
LeBron got hurt.
If LeBron's getting hurt, you know something is
exactly something. The cyborg got hurt. If LeBron can get hurt, anybody can get hurt. But
that's what's been so great about watching this Knicks team all year. Because no matter who's been hurt, whether I'm crying about Mitch Robinson being hurt, whether I'm worried about our point guard situation when D Rose was out and like Burks was supposed to be our point guard, you know what I mean? And I was like, what are we gonna do here? And Bullock was even out for a little bit. Like everybody's been injured except for obviously Randall and RJ, and we've been able to put it together, and that kind of basketball is reminiscent, I would say, of maybe last year's Heat, and so that kind of excites me. That grittiness on defense, the grittiness is just like next man up that we've been building all year, and not to mention matinees. I know this is silly. I know it's like maybe it's just made up in my crazy mind.
They're very good in matinees.
And playoff games are matinees.
A lot of times, yeah. You're going to – I 100% bet the Knicks, one of their first two games is going to be like an afternoon game, like the prime time
afternoon
slot.
It might be most of them.
Whatever it is, like 3 o'clock. Definitely.
We've been like, I don't know about you guys, but every time I had to study for a test, they would say study at the exact time of the test because that's when your brain's going to be on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not to go too off track, but the Jets can't win on the West Coast. And I don't know, that's the alarm clock or what it is. And it's all routine. And so all that stuff together, the next man up, the matinee stuff, the defense, I'm just so hyped about this playoff. And honestly, what they did on the West Coast is a little grittiness. Everyone counting them out in every single game. Like, we're supposed to lose to Memphis because they were upset at us. Like, it's crazy. You know what I mean?
We were the underdogs against Memphis.
Because they were upset
both
with
times,
us.
Which is crazy. Which is crazy.
With bizarre.
And to add on to John's point, like, this West Coast trip, I think, you know, it's been this entire season of, like, when do we say they're a good team? How long until we have to say they're a good team? When is it that they will show us that they're a good team? Well, this road trip was the pinnacle of just doom for the New York Knicks. We were supposed to go. We looked at it. It's like, if they get one win beginning of the second half, when the second half schedule came out, if they get one win, that might be it, you know? And that was the Houston Rockets. Now they're, you know, worse is going to be 500 from a West Coast trip where you had to face the Nuggets, the Grizzlies, the Clippers, the Lakers. The Knicks are showing that they're a resilient
team in the West.
And the Suns, yeah. And they're a resilient team. And I think we're going to get a lot of that in the playoffs. And they play a lot of playoff basketball. They don't run out and transition a lot. It's a lot of half court, even though they're not really efficient from the half court. But they're ready for it. And they play the type of defense that you want to sit, that you want in the playoffs. And I think the team's really ready because our team barely gets any of these ridiculous calls that opponents get, you know, whether it's Trae Young or just when we played the Heat the second time and you had Jimmy Butler and freaking Bam Adebayo at the line for a total of 36 times. Like, that's not happening. And our guys like to finish through contact too. So I'm excited to see what the Knicks can do in the playoff. I think they're going to be causing a lot of ruckus, especially in the first round.
Yeah.
I think Jimmy Butler is going to go to the line a lot against us, but Trae Young won't get calls yet.
Yo, Chip, we were looking at it the other day, Alex and I, with the free throw stats.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks are where they like midway in the NBA stats in free throws attempted and bottom quarter in made, but the Hawks were top quarter in attempted free throws and about middle of the road in makes. And so that kind of stuff is the only, you know, that's what gives me concern in the playoffs, because I agree with Alex, like, and, you know, us four, at least, we're watching every single Knicks game. And so we get caught up in every single call, ref call here and there. But at some point, we have to look at the numbers. We just don't get to the free throw line, you know, enough to win playoff games, in my opinion. So that's really the one thing that concerns me.
No, we never... I feel like it's sometimes we can exaggerate about us not getting calls and we complain a little too much as a fan base. But at some point, it's like it feels like dating back to when Melo was on the team. Melo didn't get calls either. Melo used to get just hacked and he wouldn't get calls. And Randall is getting that same kind of treatment.
I think I'm not to like try and one up everyone. Oh, no, but I think Barrett has the worst whistle on the team. Barrett never absolutely gets calls. Like, Randall doesn't get calls sometimes.
He's too young, Danny.
Yeah,
I feel like that's so stupid, but I really do feel like that's how they look at it. Like, oh, he's 20, he's fine.
Yeah. It's like he goes up and gets clobbered sometimes, and there's just no call because it's like, oh, it was Bam Adebayo. He's a great defender.
Yeah.
He couldn't have fouled him.
Before Chip's guy got traded to Chicago Bulls, Vooch tackled the living daylights out of the guy when we played Orlando.
He did. And
the ref is like watching it, like plain view, like right in front of her, and she's like, "Whatever."
He did
moving,
do that.
He was moving. Yeah. RJ was moving.
He did do that. Yeah, I mean, Vooch is a really good defender, but I'm sure he didn't mean to do that. But yeah. I love Vooch. I'll stick up for him as much as possible can.
The Vooch defense.
Yeah.
Are they getting that play-in game?
I don't know.
I don't think Chicago's out of it now, I think.
Well,
yeah. Are they officially eliminated?
I don't know if they're eliminated for sure, but they're like deep out of it. Hold on. Standings right here.
I'm actually not. Because, I mean, obviously, Washington is... They're three.
Yeah, okay, so they're two games. They're two and a half games back. So they need a lot of help. To
Zach LaVine's back.
Get over
Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine's back. They've won three in a row, but yeah. I think LaVine came back a little too late for them to make a run.
That was it. That was tough. That was
the kicker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I don't know if they were going to make it anyway, but that kind of just was the nail in the coffin.
Yeah. sound like next year.
Doesn't that sound like us? Doesn't that sound like the typical Knicks? Yeah. Like, you know, like, we're okay. We had a good team.
The kicker would be that if that happened to the Knicks, everyone would be like, oh my God, look how stupid they are. They're not gonna get a lottery pick. Like, you don't even tank good. Oh my,
made a midseason trade.
Yeah, people would be destroying the Knicks if they were in the Bulls position.
All right, I don't want to go down this road because I'm going to have to defend Vooch. I already had to do that on Twitter. When people were crushing the trade.
You know me, Chip. I'm a big European guy.
I love him.
I love Vooch too.
Yeah. I would have done that trade 10 times out of 10 to get a guy like Vooch, but let's move on because I do real quick want to talk about this Reggie Bullock article that just came out from Mark Berman, where he said that the Knicks want to bring Reggie Bullock back, which obviously isn't a surprise, but he talks about Reggie Bullock's close relationship with Tom Thibodeau for a reason that Bullock wants to come back. And he cites a source, I think it's an opposing executive or a league or whatever, saying that Bullock's value is at the mid-level exception, which is about $9 million. So I think we're all pretty much in agreement that we'd love to have Bullock back, especially his recent play. He's been one of the best shooters in the NBA last year or this year. So what kind of contract would you guys like to see Bullock come back on? And where would you like to see him fit in on the team next year? Danny, what do you think?
Well, I think kind of like Berman's probably right on top of it there with the mid-level exception. Because as good as Bullock has been, I don't think he's a guy that you want to like break the bank for on like a long-term deal or anything like that. Because I mean, he is a good player, but you know, in theory, the Knicks will need one more star, and it's either going to be a point guard or a wing. Which, if it's a wing, that basically takes Bullock out of the equation as a starter. So you don't want to overpay him. And then, you know, he's kind of like in the middle there. But I like Bullock where he is right now is like for this team as a starter, but yeah, probably going forward, you know, he's like a good, one of your first guys off the bench, you know, good defender, and also injuries we know are just going to happen. It's just a fact of life in the NBA. Having him as a guy you can slide into the starting rotation or back in and out, I think he's kind of like tailor made for that role.
Absolutely.
I agree with that.
Yeah, 100. I think the mid-level exception, if you want to go a little higher, maybe 11 million for him. I think that's where like I start to like say we're starting to get a little dicey, because we see what happens when you have teams like the Washington Wizards who pay Davis Bertans like 20 million a year for a three, who's not even a 3 and D guy. He's just a three guy. Yeah. Like just shoots threes.
Literally and, only a three guy.
Yeah, only. And he hasn't even been that good this season. And you know, there's a lot of good shooters in the league. So, and it feels like they're very replaceable if you could find a good 3-and-D guy. So I like what Bullock brings. I like his defensive intensity, right? He was doing a really good job playing against Paul George. And I think Kawhi, he had a few subs against Kawhi on Sunday, but I like his defense, his shooting. He's shooting over 40%. You know, a lot of people, I won't say a lot of people, but people believe that he was about to bounce back because he had the surgery last season. He just needed some time to get back into it. I was not one of those people. I will gladly admit that. But, you know, I'm happy that he's playing well right now. But I think somewhere between 9 to 11 is where you got to cap the range, because as Danny pointed out, he's someone who can be replaceable at the end of the day. You know, he's not that guy who's going to really push this team over the edge. You got to get another star in here, or another player, whether that's another wing or that's a point guard. And I think it's more so I would probably lean towards a point guard, just someone who can just organize it. That's what we're kind of seeing at this point. But
wow, yeah. Alex, that's a huge change from how this season started. You were like, yo, the Knicks need a wing. Bullock really grew on you, huh?
I like Bullock, man. He's doing a good job. He can keep doing this. Hey, man, you can stay around forever.
Yeah. Now you're paying him an extension. I love it.
How many years, though? I would say like 2-3 years.
Yeah, I think that's probably good for
Bullock. 327 seems like the mid-level, right? So
that's nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice for both sides. Mm-hmm. And I think the personal connection was a little understated in the article because – Don't forget, he was about to sign with the Spurs, and then he left for the Knicks, and then he had the medical issues, and the Knicks restructured his contract for in his favor, which, I mean, talk about a new regime. I feel like a couple of years ago, he would have like got, you know, sent to the G League. So I'm like, that's what excites me, but I feel like he's not going anywhere because of that. And I think, you know, Danny and Alex, I think you're right on the money with Bullock being, he could be the starting wing, but he could also, if we were, I don't know, not to throw in any crazy name out there, but someone like Kawhi Leonard, because the Clippers fall out early, comes, we can get him in there and Bullock can be on the bench and it wouldn't be anything crazy. He's very transitional, but I don't know. Do you think that Burks is coming back if Bullock does? Because I don't. How many people can you pay? Because Noel is there too.
Yeah, Burks is a tough one because, like we were kind of talking about before, he's like they're playing as a point guard, but he's not really a point guard, and like he's having a good year, but you know, so is Bullock, and you know, I think one of the things that kind of Alex, you touched on it before with Bertans, like one of the mistakes front offices can make is kind of like falling in love with their own role players who are having decent years. And like, I don't think, you know, as good as this year has been, I don't think the Knicks should just turn around and be like, all right, Bullock, Burks, Noah. Like, I don't think they should just be handing out contracts to everyone and saying like, let's run it back. Like you gotta tinker and you gotta make some changes, which yeah, Bullock and Burks. It's like almost like you're going to have to choose, which probably lean
Gary Trent Jr.
Yeah. Gary Trent Jr. I think you want to bring in some fresh, you know, some fresh blood to kind of like mix it up, which means Bullock might be on the chopping block. Maybe Burks, you never know. It should be interesting to see.
Yeah,
I'd say Noel would be most likely to come back out of those guys, right?
Probably. Bullock, I would hope Noel.
Bullock, Burks, Noel.
Noel and Bullock over Burks.
Yeah.
Sorry. Because
Burks has already been on a million teams. I don't think he would have a problem. Yeah. Like somebody else is like, oh, you're going to pay me more? Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. I hope Noel comes back because I want Mitch to be here, but I also like just having rim protectors. And I think Noel, as admirable of a job he's been, and I know this is kind of going a little off track, but as admirable of a job he's done with the starting unit, just see, this is where the Hawks are like, oh, give me a little like pause because.
Terrified John Collins.
not even just John Collins, but Clint Capella was just like, yo, I got this. It was just like up and down the lane, doing whatever he wanted. I think if Mitch was there, it would been a totally different story.
Yeah.
And a different series coming up?
Oh, you're worried about the Hawks in a 7-game series?
Me? I mean, we were doing this yesterday with Claudio on like ranking who we wanted. I'd want, as before we start this pod, I'd want Boston first.
I know, yeah.
But that's not for basketball reasons.
Yeah.
That's for personal.
If you don't know, Alex would just want to watch the games in person.
Yeah, essentially. But we were debating between who would want to see more, the Knicks face, who would want to see the Knicks face more, whether it's Miami Heat or the Atlanta Hawks. And Quadi was just kind of like persuading that it's just a better matchup to go against the Heat than the Hawks. So,
because the interior D.
I don't know. The Hawks, if I'm the Knicks, I'm not afraid of the Hawks at all.
Me neither. Yeah.
I don't think – I think as great of a player as Trae Young is, I don't think he's going to come into the playoffs and, like, just light it up from day one. Mm-hmm. I think – and he's also going to have trouble because once the playoffs come, every team switches and every team just hunts those. He's going to have trouble, like, if they can figure out a way to get RJ Barrett or, like, Julius Randle matched up on Trae Young, they're going to eat him alive.
And Bogdan's not getting 6 or 7 threes. God help that team. If Bogdan drops 6 or 7 threes in the game, Tibbs is going to absolutely murder them.
Yeah. I trust Tibbs against Trae Young. Mm-hmm. I feel like he'll figure something out, especially out of 7 games. He'll figure something out. Jimmy Butler is unfigure out of my coach. Yeah.
Dude, we can't get a foul versus Bam. Danny like threw that in real quick, but we literally cannot get a foul against Bam or Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Man, I do not want to face the Heat. I don't care that it's 90s Knicks. I don't care that the score is going to be 72, 76. Like, I don't want to see it.
They are going to be boring games if they do that. The Hawks will be entertaining because they don't play any defense.
Yeah, a little more up and down because one team plays defense and one team plays offense.
So, Alex, yeah. you would play the Celtics first and Hawks second?
Yeah, I would take the Hawks. I mean, it's kind of even for me at this point. Like, I know, like, we had trouble with the Miami Heat, but going through it, you know, looking back at how we played, the first time we played the Miami Heat, close game when we played them at home, and we didn't have Derrick Rose then. Second time we played them, we had Derrick Rose, but that was, like, his first time playing with the team, right? And that's when you had Jimmy and Bam just getting all the foul calls in the world, which I don't think that would ever – happened again for both players to get to the line that much. Third time we played them, Derrick Rose was his second game back after missing from COVID protocol, and Julius Randle was playing off of a thigh contusion, thanks to a certain point guard we will not mention on this podcast right now because we've already done that at the beginning. So I think that those like little things change it up. I think Miami would still be a difficult team to play. I think it goes six or seven games. With either team winning, but I don't think it's as bad as we're making it out to be personally, because the first two games were pretty close.
I just feel like Randle would eat the Hawks alive. Again.
I think so too.
But
I think he's going to average 30 points. Anything. I think Julius Randle's going to average 30 points against the Hawks.
Yeah.
10 rebounds, double-double.
Against the Celtics too. I think he'll do that. The Celtics have
no chance we're getting the Celtics, man.
No,
wishful thinking. I think.
I will speak it into existence.
Don't tell Alex. But
I want to beat them. I want to beat them so bad.
Now is like the Celtics being the 8 seed and then upsetting the Sixers and meeting in the second round. That's the best chance the Knicks have.
If they upset the Sixers, I do not want to see them.
Yeah, then
if they're able to pull that off, oh my god.
Okay, maybe we were wrong about the Celtics.
Actually, so yeah, I mean, live scoreboard 24-23 Miami over the Celtics in the first quarter. So it's a close game. They're staying alive.
All right,
that'd be crazy. Oh, man, if they get Boston, I'd be so happy.
I'm gonna just pivot a little bit here. Who do you think it's gonna be? Zach Wilson or Quinnen Williams winning Super Bowl MVP this year? So let's get everybody's answers here. But in seriousness, what'd you guys think of the draft? Obviously, like, we knew it was Wilson for like a little while now. But now that you see kind of like the direction they went in the draft, how do you guys feel kind of about the future now?
No, let's go ahead, man. Tell them about the arranged marriage.
Oh man, it is an arranged marriage. Zach Wilson was an arranged marriage. That's how I felt about it. But I mean, I think my thing with Zach Wilson, I think he's going to be a good quarterback. Like, he's shown the talent, arm strength, all that type of stuff. I'm a little like hesitant because BYU didn't really play that many top tier talents in college. Also a little concerned because he had probably the most beastly offensive line I've ever seen in my life. The amount of time that kid had just to throw was just insane. I could have been back there in a lawn chair, sipping on some lemonade, reading the paper, then get up, throw the football, and go back and do the same thing. That's how great that line was. I still think that doesn't take away from his talent, him being able to throw off platform, him throwing precise passes in tight coverage. I like everything about that. I'm still attached to Sam Darnold because I want the kid to do well. He is one of the quarterbacks. I will always say that. We didn't give a fair chance to. It's just me. For every quarterback, I'm like, all right, we could pass. We can move on from Mark Sanchez, Geno Smith. Please get Fitzpatrick out of my face. I feel like we never saw enough from from Darnold because of the situation he was thrown into. Adam Gase is probably the worst coach in all sporting history. Kotite had – you thought that was bad? This guy is just an abomination.
This is Greenberg right now.
When we hired him, I was just so frustrated. I was like, why are we hiring? Because everyone in Miami, even the beat writer, was just like, this guy sucks. Like, point blank, this guy sucks. Not going to get into my whole Adam Gase spiel. Just listen to every freaking episode of the Knicks, Jets, Etc. podcast during last regular season. I did it enough. we're on to better things. We got Joe Douglas, we got Robert Saleh, we got a lot of good things in the direction, but we got the quarterback who they perceive to be the future. Like I said, I like him. Still wish Darnold could have been the quarterback so we could see something, but look, I get the whole resetting the clock thing. So
yeah,
that's my spiel.
Yeah, the Knicks Jets Etc. podcast is not over their ex-girlfriend of Sam Darnold, but we have come to accept our arranged marriage in Zach Wilson. And again, it's because we didn't give Darnold, you know, we don't have to go down this whole road. We didn't give Darnold what he should or what he needed to succeed. But the cool thing is, and what's amazing about this new regime, which is kind of reminiscent like what the Knicks are doing, is they're building around the team and they're building in the trenches. They're doing the Lord's work right now. They are building the defensive line, the interior of it, with Quinnen Williams, like you mentioned, Danny, at the top. Then they got Carl Lawson, the big money mover, the big rusher in this offseason. And that's without the draft. And we had the 10 picks in this draft. We ended up with 10 picks. But somehow, some way, Joe Douglas was able to trade the Jamal Adams pick and, you know, the same and accumulate some more with the Sam Darnold pick and move up for Vera Tucker, get the guard, best guard since Quentin Nelson, according to Pro Football Focus. I mean, what else can you ask for? We got Elijah Moore, absolute stud, at least on video. Like, I don't know what else we need. On paper, on paper, he has the most rush yards since Justin Blackmon. He's built to for the yard after carry game. I think he was averaging almost 10 yards per reception. He's absolutely murdering out there in Ole Miss. We got the tight end as a nice little help in the undrafted free agents, along with the tackle from BYU. And then we just hit defense. And I mentioned it to Alex 6 million times. He probably wants to murder me at this point if I mention the Jets' statistics against the tight ends last year. But it was their throw up worthy. Not even like the 31st team in the NFL wasn't even close to us. We're giving up 1,000 plus yards, 14 touchdowns. Alex loves the Darren Waller game because
exactly that game.
He like absolutely killed us out there. So we kind of threw a couple darts at the board with some weak side linebackers. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited about those guys. I don't know if Saleh is as advertised, if Michael LaFleur is as advertised, especially with Michael Carter, right? He was the only other player in college football to rank top 10 in rushing yards and passing besides Najee Harris. So like everything I love from the last two drafts from Joe Douglas, I love. They're really reminiscent of this Knicks team, and also a little reminiscent of the 2019 Miami Dolphins, where there's kind of like a new coach. We don't really know what's going on. The quarterback's a little figured out, but we really know what's going on in any position, but they're going to be gritty. So, Danny, I'm not going to get too ahead of myself because the schedule's coming out in, like, I think, like 10 minutes from when we're recording, and I know we're going to get absolutely demolished on this schedule, but I am very cautiously optimistic in a 500 season. Well, I know we can't do 500 anymore. So 9 wins or 10 wins this year and a playoff berth.
Did you say 10 wins? You said 10 wins yesterday.
I said 10 wins yesterday.
Yeah, I got 9 wins for this team just because I think the quarterback situation needs to be a little iron. First year with the quarterback, things need to be ironed out unless he's just like.
Yeah. You don't know exactly where you're going to get.
Yeah, but I think everything else, it's going to be exciting. I can't wait to watch Michael Carter and Elijah Moore play.
I'll just kind of like I'll say that I agree with you guys too. Like, I like Darnold. I wanted Darnold to be successful, and I think I'm a little higher on Wilson than you guys are. But my thing with Wilson almost is like when Darnold came in, he was like the savior. It was like, oh my god, he's gonna save the franchise. He's gonna like lift up the Jets. The Jets are gonna, oh my god, Darnold, thank you. Like, it doesn't feel like that with Wilson. With Wilson, it feels like, all right, like we're getting a good quarterback, and it's like, hey, you're coming in, and it's like, hey, we give you this wide receiver, we give you this guard. You know, we just got a big tackle in the last draft. Feels like with Wilson, it's not like you have to be the savior. It's like, hey, you have to like join this up and coming team and just be a part of it. Which for a young quarterback, I mean, we all remember Mark Sanchez had some good years with the Jets where not necessarily like he was putting up crazy numbers or like, you know, ever going to be Peyton Manning. But when you have a young quarterback like that and you just put him in a good situation and you say, hey, you know, just do what you can do and, you know, just play within yourself, it works. And, you know, if you have the good defense, you got the running game, got all that, it helps. And I feel like Zach Wilson, we're a lot closer to the situation Mark Sanchez was in, where it's like, you know, you got a foundation around you. Whereas with Darnold, it was kind of like, hey, here you go. Like, we traded away all our picks for nothing. Like, here you go. Like, we have no offensive lineman for you. Do your best. And I feel like we're in a much better spot with Douglas running the show.
I 100% agree. I love the way Joe Douglas is operating this team. The last way he last season, the way he drafted.
Line. Just
and the way he's drafted this season, I love the way he's operating. That's why when I see people like slandering Joe Douglas, I'm like, this is the second draft. Like, let's let's relax. He's building the right way.
We knew this wasn't going to be like overnight, like last year, the Jets. We knew going into the season.
Well, Mac just failed at so many aspects of drafting and filling holes. He just, I feel like that man just like looked at players' names and just like, I like that guy. Like, you're playing fantasy football, you're like your first time. It's like, I'll choose that guy. Yeah. Why not?
And like, but, I mean, I don't have to harp on it too much because I feel like I'm like you are with Gase, with Mac and the offensive lineman. But it was like, he just never, and like never invested any like quality picks in the line, which like, if you look at all the best teams in the NFL, they just keep it going in the line. Like, they just every year they'll pick up like a second rounder or something like that, and they just keep filling in, they keep adding to it. And Mac just never did that.
For sure. But I want to get back to like your point on Wilson and Darnold. I think the thing, Darnold, yes, felt like the savior. The thing with Zach Wilson is the hype is like very, very high for a guy that was not really talked about for most of the the college football season. And it just kind of feels like a whirlwind. You know, you just log on to Jets Twitter and you see the Mormon Mahomes just flying around. You're like, Mormon Mahomes, like, what is going on here? This kid is like Patrick Mahomes. And then you start hearing kind of like, well, he's got the Aaron Rodgers, like, throw. He's got the Pat Mahomes, like, creativity. It's like, okay, is this a kid, a good quarterback? Just give me like a good, like, if he's a good quarterback, I can get behind it. But I feel like the hype is just so high with this kid that it's giving me pause just to even like invest myself fully, be like, okay, let's go get this kid. Like, I like him. I will support him. He's part of the Jets, but it's just the hype. I feel like he's been hyped so much that there's such a high expectation to what he has to do to a certain extent.
All right. So you want to hear the dumbest reason why I think Wilson is going to be good?
Let's hear it.
During the regular season, when the Jets were supposed to be like in line for Lawrence, I read a mock draft and it had Wilson going to the Patriots. And I just thought to myself, like, it's perfect. They're going to get Lawrence and I'm going to be like, this is incredible. And then the Patriots are going to get Wilson and he's going to turn out to be like one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And I just like, that stuck with me. I'm like, the Patriots get him. He's going to be phenomenal. So that's why I think Wilson's
okay.
Because I thought he would be good on the Patriots.
So funny.
That's how battered I am as a Jets fan.
I think this is confession time, because literally I watch a lot of college football. So I'm watching, you know, just normal Saturday after Saturday, and I'm literally staring at Mac Jones and I'm saying to myself, this guy's gonna be a New England Patriot. This guy's gonna be a New England Patriot. This guy's gonna, every week I'd come say to Alex, by the way, they're either gonna get Matt Ryan or they're gonna get Mac Jones. And then we actually were on an Atlanta podcast and they were going off about, you know, the contract situation with Matt Ryan. And we, you know, we agreed with them. We kind of backed off on the Ryan, but like now we're just sitting there every week. We're like, yo, Mac Jones, he's going to kill us. Oh, Mac Jones, he's going to kill us. And then what do you know? Mac Jones, New England Patriots. So Danny, I'm with you, dude. I also share the PTSD. Yeah.
You just like, see the Patriots possibly getting a guy and you're like, oh my God. Like,
They got the two tight ends, I was like, yo, Bill Belichick's probably laughing at the stats for the Jets tight ends. He's like, yo, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to get two now.
Yeah, we're just going to get
the score next 600.
The next Gronk and Hernandez.
It's crazy, dude.
Insane.
You're right there in the middle of it, though, Alex. I feel bad for you.
Yeah, let me tell you something. I have a Jets Letterman jacket, right? Like, varsity jacket. Mm. I wore it to a Trader Joe's. I'm in line. This is the season where we had Fitzmagic. The Jets actually went 10-6 this season. And I'm checking out. And the guy behind me is like, "You're wearing a Jets jacket around here? They're losers." I was like, "Bro, they're winning." He's like, I'm just like, and then everyone in the line is just like chuckling. And I'm just like, what is this? Like, what are we doing here?
Patriots fans are the worst. Like, as bad as Celtics fans are, I think I could handle Celtics fans. I think I could even handle Red Sox fans. Patriots fans are the worst.
I agree.
It's they
do the most winning.
The scum of the earth.
Of course.
They don't deserve
it. I hate it. And the thing is, like, I refuse to go to Gillette Stadium until, like, they're actually, like, bad. Like, until they're bad, I refuse. And also, it's, like, super expensive. Yeah. Like, insanely expensive for Gillette Stadium. But
when they're really, really bad, though.
Yeah.
When they're and empty. Like,
yes.
Belichick's long gone. They don't, yep. You know, Mac Jones is about to be you know, not
dreaming.
Re-signed after his you
know, like, we're dreaming here. We're dreaming. Yeah,
it's
here.
Like the thing is that like I know this for a fact because Bill Parcells coached the Jets, Big Tuna. They always the parking lot is just filled with tuna. It's like people are just cooking tuna the day the Jets come in. So it's just like you just get there, you get the grill. There's the grills, and everyone's like, "Yeah, we're taking tuna." I'm just like. It's not even the coach. What are we doing here?
That's ridiculous.
Like, yeah. The statute of limitations is over on Tuesday.
Wait, so how do you feel about Salah and LaFleur? How do you feel about us keeping our special teams coach? Because I'll just say real quick, the one thing I love, love, love about Douglas is that he spreads the wealth. The offense gets their – like even in the free agency, offense gets their guy. You know, we get Corey Davis – Carl Lawson on the defense, and then we get Hardy, like everyone's favorite special teamer. And then, like, you know, down to the draft, you know, I'm pretty sure some of these defensive guys are going to be in special teams. Like, how do you feel about, like, we know that Douglas is obviously taking care of everyone, but how do you feel about, you know, the first-year Jets, dude? Like, how do you feel about Salah? Like, do you think he's going to do anything with his defense? Like, you know what we have. We have C.J. Mosley coming back, and we don't know what's going on there. Alex's nemesis.
There's a lot of question marks, but I'm hoping that, like, Salah, as good as a defensive coordinator as he is and good as a defensive guy, he can kind of, like, squeeze the most juice out of that roster. And just kind of like get them to be like top half of the league. Not expecting an elite defense, but I think Salah, I think he's good enough to do that. And then LaFleur, like, I mean, I don't know. You just hope he's as good as advertised. But I mean, how many times do these guys like, oh, he's an offensive genius? I mean, Gase was an offensive genius. And then, you know, look what happened there. I think LaFleur is obviously, there's a little more to it when people like talk him up as an offensive guy. But like, you never know. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury was, you know, oh, he's going to be, you know, a great offensive coach. And then now he's terrible. So it's like,
Why did people think that? His team sucked in college. I don't know why everybody thought he was so smart.
He was like, he's like a 35-year-old guy, like good looking guy. So people are like, oh my God. Like,
dude, he's a Jets quarterback. Everyone should have known.
It's just because he's good looking. That's the only reason why.
He's also, yeah, what was it? It was after the Rams went to the Super Bowl too, right? So they were like, oh, Sean McVay, 30-some-odd-year-old coach. So it's like, oh, young coach,
young cool, offensive,
likes to wear the sunglasses.
Yeah. It's the Nick Nurse thing that happened with the Pacers, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, but no, I like the coaching staff. Hopefully, you know, and I actually, just to touch on your special teams point, I like that they kept Boyer because I think sometimes, like, when there's a coaching overhaul like that, you almost want to keep like one guy in the building, like as a kind of like a carryover.
But you know how it is.
Yeah. Familiar face kind of for the guys and just be like, hey, this is
how you talk to Woody.
Yeah. This is how things kind of go. Like, you know, whatever. And Boyer, like Jet special teams actually in recent years have been pretty good. So yeah, I don't
know. We got Leon Washington now too in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, I don't know. It's an interesting kind of like makeup of the coaching staff, but I'm all in. I'm excited. I don't have an exact prediction, but I'd probably be right around where you guys are, like 9-10 games, like fighting for a playoff spot there. But we'll see. I mean, you never know when Zach Wilson, rookie of the year, co rookie of the year with Elijah Moore, actually. So, you know, when that happens,
I'm hyped for Elijah Moore.
Yo, I'm crazy enough to take Zach Wilson plus 4,000.
I already took. Oh, you said MVP.
No, rookie of the year.
Oh, MVP. Oh,
no.
I think I got him like plus 350 to win MVP.
MVP was plus 4,000.
Yeah, he was like plus 350 to win rookie of the year. Elijah Moore was like.
So Zach Wilson MVP?
Plus 1,000. I did Sam Darnold MVP last year. Just throw him
back. That's tough. I had Jets playoffs. I had a Jets playoff.
I do Jets everything. So
no.
It was a bad one last year.
Oh my goodness.
But I guess do we have any closing Knicks Jets thoughts? I feel like we've covered a lot of ground here on both teams now.
I would just say that both teams we see the Knicks are moving in the right direction. Savvy front office, you know, they have something established there. Wheeling and dealing. Seems like the Jets are moving in that the right direction. Got the head coach that they wanted. They're getting the players that they wanted. We'll just see. If the Jets come out and have a winning season too, it is going to feel like, was it, I guess, 1970? The 69 where the Jets won the Super Bowl. And the Knicks were just going.
Let's not talk crazy.
I'm not talking about them winning Super Bowls and championships. I'm just saying it's the last time both teams were actually like relevant and actually fun and exciting to like root for. You know what I mean?
Chip, what do you think about this draft, Chip?
The NBA draft?
No, what do you think about the Jets?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the NBA draft.
No, what do you think about the Jets?
All right, let's get into some Cade Cunningham now.
Some Cade Cunningham. This draft, I was really excited about the wide receiver they took, Moore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really like him the most. I just, like Danny was talking about stupid reasons. The fact that Lavernius Coles came out and said his name, I was so pumped about that.
Yes.
I was so excited. Right when I saw Lavernius Coles announce him, I was like, I'm watching every single thing about this kid. I had to learn everything about this kid. I'm so excited. Alex said, you're excited to watch him play. I can't wait to watch him play. Yeah. Obviously, I like Zach Wilson. I knew they were going to pick him, so I already watched stuff on him. Yeah. But I had no idea who this kid was. And now I'm very excited to watch him. And I saw, who was it who compared him to Santana Moss? I think it was another guy who played for the Jets.
Someone compared him to Santana Moss?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I was like, and I love Santana. Everybody likes Santana Moss. So, I mean, the Jets need speed. So, man, I'm very excited to watch him play. The Jets need a guy like that. He should be fun to watch, if anything.
Yeah. Okay, cool. For sure. So everyone here is optimistic about the Jets, which I have never experienced in my whole life.
Yeah.
That's usually just me.
I'm totally optimistic after that. And when they traded up to go get a guard, I was so excited about that. Like, I never thought I would be excited to see my team trade up to get a guard. But when they traded up to get an offensive lineman, I was so fucked. Me and my brother were like, holy shit, they actually went and got an offensive lineman. And so I don't understand why he would be an overpay. Like, he's going to start right away. Why is it an overpay? Like, they knew they liked him. They went and got him. I don't get that. I think you're just looking for reasons to nitpick because the Jets did well in the draft for once.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the closing remarks for me is I agree with you guys that we should be optimistic about the Jets, which again, uncomfortable in this position, don't know what it's really like being here. I really do think, depending on how the schedule goes, because it's going to be brutal, we got Darnold, we got Brady, we got Trevor Lawrence, we got Indy, it's a tough, we got the Eagles who we can never beat. It's going to be a tough schedule, so we'll see how it works out. I think we're going to make the playoffs. I'm not going to be too upset if we don't, but we have to look competent, and I think we will. As Danny said, I think Salah's going to squeeze everything from the defense, and I think Wilson's going to amaze some people, and I got my money on that. So it's not just some talk. On the Knicks side, again, over 500 on the West Coast trip, absolutely unreal if that happens. If not, I'll take the 500. Give me the fourth or fifth seed. I don't care who we play, even if it's the Heat. It'll be a fun series. If we do make it, It's going to be all about health, all about longevity, like we were talking about. And if Embiid is out, if Embiid gets hurt, the Knicks can make a run. So I'll just leave it with that. We could win the series, the first round. If Embiid doesn't play like he hasn't played all year, in the second round, it's possible we could be looking at a legitimate game, you know, deep into the playoffs, which will be actually unreal. So I am super optimistic right now. Catch me next week when I am drowning in my sorrows from the Jets doing something absolutely unreal and, you know, the Knicks collapsing on themselves.
I think the Sixers are very beatable without Embiid. So I co-sign that one for sure.
I mean, I was at that game in Philly and that was a tough one. I can't believe we lost it. I think we could beat them as well.
The Knicks haven't beat Philly since, I think it was February.
They haven't beat Ben Simmons at all.
Yeah, February 2017, I think, was the only time, or the last time.
Oh, my goodness.
Ben Simmons is, I think he's 12-0 or 13-0 against the Knicks in his career.
Dude, we have to stop that.
Don't tell anyone, but that means the Jets haven't beat the Eagles in forever, and the Knicks can't beat the Sixers. Yeah. So, actually, we should really keep that on the low. I didn't put those, you know, one-on-one together.
Philly's got New York's number right now, at least those teams.
Damn. That's tough.
But all right. I think we probably pretty much covered everything. Hopefully when this releases in the morning, hopefully the Knicks will have won against the Lakers. That would be nice. But either way, I think we'll definitely have a lot more to talk about coming forward with the Knicks in the playoffs and all that stuff. So thanks again, everyone, for listening, tuning in, and sticking it out while we went through with all our Jets stuff too, because I had to get some of that off my chest for sure. And thanks again for listening. Thanks, Alex and John, for coming on.
Thank you, Danny, and thank you, Chip. Appreciate it.
We got to get you on the Knicks, Jets, etc. podcast, and have you let it all out on the Jets?
Yeah, definitely. I'm in. All right.